Well, you've probably all read this parable about the lost sheep. And tonight, for myself, I don't know if you've ever wandered away in your walk with the Lord. It's kind of easy to do. And I think in our freedom that God gives us, sometimes the freedom is to wander off. The freedom is to deliberately go in a direction. The freedom is to run away. And I'm so grateful that we serve a God who doesn't have the attitude that someone like myself might have when one runs away, or is kind of, well, you know, they'll be okay. Or maybe if they want to, they know their way back. But that he seeks after us. That 99 is not enough. And I think that's the attitude to have. That was the attitude I had for years when we did camps. If we went away to do a week-long camp, and they were like, well, Gary, almost everybody's back on the bus. Okay, that's close enough. How many we got? That's a good percentage. When we get back, come on, they can't be upset with that. We lost one or two, but come on. But you have that responsibility that, you know, they all need to be accounted for. And that's not really the attitude that God has. It's not so much that, you know, he needs to have 100. You know, he's a perfectionist. Got to have that 100%. But mostly it's about how important the one is to him. That 99 is awesome. But what catches his attention is the one that wanders off or gets lost or loses their way, whatever it is. And tonight I want us to kind of look at that with that in mind, that it's another expression of God's love and commitment to us. That he creates us with the ability to go away if we want to go away. And yet, because of his great love, he won't stop trying to bring us back. He will constantly pursue and constantly bring into our lives these opportunities to kind of shepherd us back to the flock. And all the time doing it with this incredible love. So, in Luke chapter 15, it says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around him to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. When the Lord knows that the 99 are safe, he's not as concerned with those of us who are probably doing well and are where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. But his concern is always directed to the ones who are not doing well, who are isolated, maybe cut off, or in this case, the one who's gotten away. He wants to go find it, and he won't stop until he finds the one. And then I love the way that Jesus puts this picture of him just picking up this lamb and putting him on his shoulders and carrying him back to the rest. And then calling everybody. It's not just enough to, like, you know, okay, you silly little lamb, you know, get back with the others. It's like, you know, runs over there. And it's like, okay, they're all safe again. It's not really about that. It's about the fact that when he comes back, he's like, he has to let everybody know. It's a time of rejoicing. And then he ties it all together with how he views the world around us that are non-believers. That he cares about the unsaved. That it's great to be a part of the family of God. And I don't believe that the 99 that are safe is something that he takes lightly. Or he looks over and goes, oh, they're saved, I don't care about them. But in his infinite love and ability to care for all of his sheep, his eyes are constantly looking for the ones who are lost and the ones that don't know their way back. And I think it's interesting that the Bible talks about us being sheep over and over again. I look at that picture up there, the little sheep. And I think, you know, if I had to pick some kind of animal that was going to represent me in my relationship with God, that wouldn't be it, you know? I'm thinking, ooh, there's lions and bears and something cool and fierce and, you know, badger, you know. I like badgers because they're really small, but they're like really ferocious. We just got a puppy about a month ago. And he's really small, but really thinks he's really ferocious. And like when you're outside with him and there's a dog that could just like, just eat him as like a, you know, a tater tot or something. And yet he has like there's no scale in his mind. As he looks across the street and sees the dog, he starts tugging at the line, you know, and you're like, no, 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 you know. But in his mind, it's just like, oh, come on, let me at him, you know. It's like, and you're going, dude, it's like, you cannot take that dog on. There's just no way. And I don't know, maybe he's too young to have had any experiences to know what fear is, but he runs through the house like that too, running around, banging into stuff, and it just doesn't faze him. It doesn't stop him. He just keeps going, and he follows his nose wherever it's going to take him. He doesn't care what he rips up on the way. And I just think it's interesting that God looks at all that he created, and he says, my children, they're like sheep. And in one really kind way, he's, you know, talking about these really needy animals that, you know, are kind of cute and cuddly and fuzzy, but they need a lot of tending and watching over. And in another way, he's also going, and they're not the brightest, you know, creature that I've made. It's easy for them to get lost and, you know, wandering off. There's a few ways that we can do that. You can physically not be thinking and wander away. And then all of a sudden you reach a point where you're like, oh, I haven't been paying attention. I'm not sure where I am and I'm not sure how to get back. So there's the physical wandering that we do. Or we go to check something out. Hey, what's that over there? I'm just going to go check it out and then I'm going to come right back. And sometimes we get delayed for, I've known Christians for years who are still checking it out, but they'll be right back. There's mentally wandering. I do this quite frequently. It'll happen tonight while I'm teaching. My mind will just wander away, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you know. And then there's spiritual wandering, where we're where we're supposed to be. We're with the 99, and we look like all the other sheep. And check them out. Oh, we're eating. Okay. You know, oh, we're laying down. All right. You know, it's like, we kind of go with the flow, but we're not really with all the other sheep. In fact, we might really consider ourselves more like, you know, away with the one that's, you know, out having a good time as far as we would think. And we always think that way too. Hey, one of us is missing. Oh, probably having a great time. When he's out there, you know, the city lights, got away. He's having a good time. Shepherd's not watching. And yet, when they come back, it doesn't look like they've had a great time, does it? They usually come back pretty tore up, kind of limping a little bit. It's like, hey, how's it going? I'm back. I wandered away. Don't wander away. You know, it's one of the great things about new people coming into the church all the time, especially new converts that have just become Christians, is they have such an appreciation for what we can take for granted every day. They're some of the ones that just drive us crazy because everything is so new to them. You know, they're just like, oh, man, that message this morning, yeah, it was pretty good. Oh, no, that was awesome, man. It was like, you know, and they tell you all the different ways it touched their life, and you're going, yeah, I kind of didn't get that, but that's all right. You know, I was thinking about, you know, when I get home, I got to do laundry or, you know, whatever it is. So there we go. We're wandering away. We're not where we should be, and we're missing out on the opportunity to be ministered to by the shepherd. And I think we have to constantly be on our guard about wandering away. It's great to know that our shepherd will always come looking for us. But I think it's kind of a sad thing when he has to come looking for me over and over again. I don't know if you've ever had to go find your child somewhere. They're not where they're supposed to be. And it's a really frustrating thing because you were clear in your instruction. I'll pick you up here at such and such time. And you get there and they're like, they're not here. And you're like, okay, it's cool. They'll probably be along any minute now. I'll just be patient. And 2 minutes later, you're like, okay, they're not here. They're 2 minutes late. My patience is wearing thin. They're 5 minutes late. They're 10 minutes late. They're 20 minutes late. Where are they? And then you worry. I hope everything's okay. I hope they're okay because when I find them, I'm going to kill them. I always kind of wonder, how does that work? We're so concerned that they're okay, but when we find them, we want to do them bodily harm. Are you okay? Are you safe? Good. Come here. You know, it's like, I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't treat us that way, that when he finally finds us, you know, and it doesn't say here in the story, when he finds the one that wandered off, he grabs him, snaps his neck, puts him on his shoulder, and carries him back. You know. Then he calls all his friends. We're down to 99 sheep. Pray that we don't lose any more. Ezekiel 34:6. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Ezekiel the prophet talking about the people of God, how sad it was that they were being scattered and that they weren't that nation that God had called them to be. And then how sad it was that no one was looking for them, that they're all over. They're scattered on every high hill, and there's no one to really kind of gather them together. There's no one to come in and draw them together by the one thing that they have in common, that they're all lost and that they all need a shepherd. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I think it's amazing that no matter how far away a person can get from the Lord, no matter what kind of sin we're talking about, a person who's never known the Lord, how God's desire would be to draw them in. And how we have to remember as a church that just as Christ died for my sins, he died for their sins. And sometimes we get that attitude. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It can happen to me, like right in the middle of worship, where I'm just totally focused on the Lord, and all of a sudden a person can walk in, and my mind can be filled with all kinds of thoughts just based on, you know, that little judging thing that, you know, well, you probably don't do this because you're real spiritual. But I have this problem where I can just see somebody and my mind starts to work, you know, already starts to kind of work. Oh, I've never seen that person. Oh, they look like they've had a hard life or whatever, you know, whatever you start going through. And you're like, oh, I wonder if that person could be trouble. I hope our ushers are on him, you know. It's like he could have a gun under that coat. You know, you start thinking about all this stuff and it's like, and then all of a sudden in the middle of it again, you know, there you are. You're wandering away. You know, it's like, you know, where's the 99 are all worshiping fine, but the worship leader, he's off, you know, thinking all these things. Now that's an exaggeration, of course, but you get the point that sometimes it's just easy for us to forget all the things that we were guilty of or that we have done, or that I think the sad thing for some situations that churches find themselves in is there's a desire to have everybody come in and immediately adapt the same behavior and attitude that everyone else has. And I think that's a shame because we always need to encourage each other to be ourselves. That we don't need to conform except to anybody that would be Jesus Christ. Not to conform to one another, not try to fit in and look like, you know, the other sheep. But just to know that we are at home with the Lord. Jeff talks about that every morning, to look for the person that we don't know, somebody that we haven't seen before, and to go up and make sure that they feel welcome, to let them know that we're glad that they're here. I don't know how the other 99 sheep feel when they see the shepherd coming with the one that ran away on his shoulders. They're probably like me. It's like, oh, great, you know. There's the favorite sheep, you know, on the master's shoulders, you know. We were all where we were supposed to be, but no, go run away and look at what, you know, he has to come find you and make a big deal. Oh, look, he's calling everybody. Let's rejoice and have a big party. What about me? I've never run away. I'm always where I'm supposed to be. You going to call everybody and rejoice over me? Oh, no, he's the safe one. Sorry, I'm giving way too much away. You guys are like, there'll be letters coming into Jeff. Jeff, cut him loose. Let him go. But there are times when we all wander away from that close place that we've enjoyed with the Lord. And I think for myself, when I get to those places where I've enjoyed kind of that safe pasture, knowing I'm around other fellow believers and the comfort that comes with that, it's like not taking that for granted, but knowing how fortunate I am to be a part of that pasture, to be a part of that flock, to be so cared for by a shepherd who really loves me, who's really concerned about my well-being. Mark 14:27 says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." There's times when I think it's easy for us to get the attitude of Peter if we're not careful. To think, oh no, I would never do that. I would never allow myself to do what that person did. Or no, everyone else, they'll reject you, Lord, but not me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go that far. And yet, I think I'm always reminded when I see someone who I knew once who was walking with the Lord, and now I see them in a different situation where they're no longer in a relationship. And I think to myself, how does that happen? What are the warning signs so I can be careful? And then I think to myself, you know what, Gary, probably the best attitude to have is, there but by the grace of God go I. If it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for God coming to get me every time I've wandered from the herd, it would be easy for me to go off. And as the Bible says, to pierce yourselves with many transgressions. That doesn't sound like a good place to go. Hey, I'm taking off. I'm going to go over there over the hill where they're, I don't know what it's like, but I hear you pierce yourself with many transgressions. Anybody want to come with me? Like, hey, no, that's okay. I'll let you do that one all by yourself. But the difficulty in sometimes realizing how good we have it and not taking that for granted, but using that as a catalyst to say, you know what, Lord, I recognize that there are people out there who don't know you. And I represent the 99. I'm in a safe place. And that doesn't mean that I should just be hanging out. It means that I should be actively talking to the other sheep and letting them know, man, we are very fortunate. And anytime we see another sheep going by, man, we need to try to get them over here. We need to welcome them into the herd. If we see one of us wandering off, we shouldn't just have that attitude, oh, the shepherd will get him. Somebody will, you know, figure out. But that we can take that upon ourselves, too, to say, you know what, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. My desire would be that would be my attitude. It should be my attitude, certainly as a shepherd of God's sheep, as a pastor. But I don't want it to just be my attitude because I have a title. I want it to be my attitude because I care about the other sheep. And I recognize how important they are to my Lord, as I recognize how important I am to my Lord. And being able to appreciate it is what stops us from letting go or losing sight of it. In John, he says, I tell you the truth, John 10, verses 1 through 4. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. John, as he talks about false shepherds, false teachers and pastors and Christians even, he says, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. Sometimes the reason that these difficulties come, it's not even that we're drawn away by necessarily our own wants or our own desires or our own passions, but sometimes there are those even around us who are trying to rip us off or lead us astray or take us in the wrong direction. We have to be on guard. We have to know the voice of our shepherd. We have to recognize when he calls to us. And we have to, just as importantly, I think, recognize when it's not his voice. Question that voice that I'm hearing and say, man, does that sound like my Lord and my Savior, my shepherd? Or does that sound like something else? Because of these false teachers, false prophets, false shepherds, he says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out to his own sheep by name and leads them out. John 10 verses 7 and 8. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All those who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Jesus wants to have that role in our life as being the one that we turn to, the one that we trust. I think we have to be very careful to give that trust to anyone else. I think it's interesting in the Bible, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. There's an invitation that we can follow others, but only as we see them following Christ, which means we also ourselves have to know who Christ is. But I can't just sit back in my walk with the Lord and just say, well, I'm just going to go where everybody else goes. There's safety in numbers. I'm sure we're all going to be okay. I always think of lemmings when I think that way. When I think about this group that's just all like, come on, we're all going to the ocean. And then they all just run down and fall off a cliff into the ocean. Okay, that's not quite what I had in mind. Nobody even still to this day really understands exactly what gets into them and makes them react that way, but they're just a crowd, just following the flow. How important it is that we recognize and know his voice. He says, all of those who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Christ says he's the good shepherd in John 10, verses 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who knows the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And they shall be one flock and one shepherd. I think it's interesting that God talks first about the 99 and how desirous he is for the one who's lost. And yet, he also mentions that the world is even bigger than that, that there are sheep out there who have not been brought in yet, who are not of this sheep pen. And that he wants his whole church to come together, to be united. And I think about how it just seems like, from the world standpoint, we get farther and farther away from that. There's just more and more churches and more different types of churches for different types of things. And it seems like we keep wanting to separate the one big herd that God wants into smaller and smaller sections. And I think it's sad that we can allow divisions and things like that to come in and separate us. I think it's great that God's voice is heard wherever it needs to be heard. That he goes throughout the whole world. The Word of God says that his eyes are always looking for those whose hearts would be turned towards him. I think about the desire that he has for everyone to hear the news of God's love, of God's grace, of God's mercy, to draw them in, to bring them into a part of it. 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls." I think the greatest loss that I can lose, the greatest thing that I can give up, is what God so freely gave me when he called me to be a part of him. I was born again, and I have this eternal soul now that I can do whatever I want with. I can cherish it, I can take care of it, or I can treat it as though it means nothing. And God doesn't just want to take care of us and feed us and watch over us, but he wants to be the shepherd of our souls. He wants to take care of every part of us, not just our physical being, not just our mental being, but our spiritual lives. It's really what he's the author of. "For you were all like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." Hebrews 13:20. "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep." And Psalm 79:13. "Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever from generation to generation. We will recount your praise." Think about the purpose as Jesus was talking about this parable. He was surrounded by what the religious leaders of his time thought were garbage. The tax collectors and the sinners, and they're sitting there in their piousness, feeling good about who they are in their spiritual lives, judging Jesus. "Oh, look at him. He sits down and he eats with the sinners." And then he tells this story. And in a way, I think it's kind of sad, because they probably never really understood how he was slamming them at times when he would tell these parables. But he was really telling them about how he came and how his whole purpose was for the sick, for the dying, for the lost. How his desire was to come into the world and to die for sin. And that was really the whole purpose. And I think it's sad today that if we're not careful, we can forget that that's what it's really all about. The simple truth is that God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for our sins. And whenever one little one gets away, God cares deeply. And sometimes when God is not seeming to act as quickly as I would like him to on my behalf, it's because he knows I'm safe. He knows I'm with the 99. He's not concerned about me right now. But there's somebody out there lost and hurting. That's who God cares about. That's where he's putting his efforts at that moment. And sometimes it's easy for me to get that out there. Oh, he doesn't care. He's not concerned. And that's never true. It's just that sometimes we're right where we need to be, and that's a good thing. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten about me. It doesn't mean that I'm not important to him. But there are those out there, their lives are in peril. And we need to pray for them. And we need to ask that God would help us as a body to reach out to whoever those people would be. Rather, they're a sheep who's lost their way, or rather somebody who hasn't even come into the sheep pen yet. And by having that attitude, that there are people out there worse off than me, who are hurting more than I hurt, who are more scared than I am, who are more cut off than I am, who are more in need of prayers than I am. And really, to just get my eyes off myself and to recognize God is taking care of me. He's taking care of me when I'm part of the 99, and His promise is that if I ever wander off, He'll come get me. And I can even take, I think, just great comfort in knowing that. When the wolves come, He's there. He doesn't run away. When it's time to move on, He'll come and get us. He'll call out to us. We'll recognize His voice. There's a comfort when He calls. We know it's Him, and we can follow Him knowing He's going to lead us to better pastures, to better places. That's His promise. All we have to do is follow. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for the truth of Your word, Lord, and I pray that whatever kind of sheep we find ourselves being, rather we're a part of the 99 that are safe and secure, or for the one that's not where we should be, Lord, we would stop right where we are, and that we would look for You to call out to us, to come and pick us up and carry us back to that place of safety. And Lord, for the world that doesn't know You yet, Lord, our prayer would be that they would find You. That as they go about their day and their lives looking for all the things to fill them up with, Lord, they would recognize that the thing they need most is to belong to You, to be one of Your sheep. We pray, Lord God, that You would keep us actively seeking those out who don't know You. Being an ear for them to talk to at work, at school. Being a shoulder to lean on, Lord, in difficult times. Offering our prayers to them, Lord, when they are struggling. And most of all, Lord, not offering our opinion or our judgment, Lord, but recognizing that You are looking out for them. You're moving towards them to lift them up on Your shoulders and to bring them into a new relationship, a new place with You. Let us be a part of that work, God, we pray in Christ's name.